Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, we are going to embark on a teaching on the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the title of this new teaching that we are going to start today, it's going to be called The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. So please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verse number 1. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So now, let's stop here for a moment. If we just stop here, God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us that he does not want us to be ignorant. So that must mean he wants us informed. He wants us to have the knowledge of his word. But it tells us something very interesting in this verse. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he does not want us to be ignorant. Now, it says concerning spiritual gifts, brother. So it is the spiritual gifts he wants us informed regarding. Amen. Paul was addressing the church at Corinth. And if the Spirit of God didn't want the church to be ignorant then, I certainly don't believe he wants the body of Christ to be ignorant today. Amen. Remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and he does not change. He wants his church informed. Now, there are many places that profess to be Christians and have a limited understanding and knowledge of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the consequences of that not knowing is ignorance. These gifts were given to profit all the church, the body of Christ, not just an individual. But the question might be asked, what does spiritual gifts mean? What do we mean while we say spiritual gifts? Well, spiritual gifts means to grant as a favor, gratuitously, in kindness, pardon or rescue, a divine gratuity, deliverance from danger or passion, a spiritual endowment. So those are the meanings of the spiritual gifts. But if we take all those groups of meanings and put it into one, we can say it like this. We have a spiritual endowment granted as a favor in kindness, deliverance from danger or passion. Now, I want to make sure you are not getting spiritual gifts confused with ministry gifts. We do not want to get spiritual gifts confused with ministry gifts. Those are two different subjects. Those gifts are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, the ministry gifts are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Please go there with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians, again, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. So it says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see here we have ministry gifts that were set in the body of Christ, and they were for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen? Those are the ministry gifts, and they're totally different from what we're going to be discussing, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place called on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So this book, the book of Corinthians, is written to the church at Corinth. But I believe it is also for the church, the body of Christ today. So go with me to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be beginning with verses 1 through 12. And we're going to see what the word says in regards to spiritual gifts. So if you found chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1 to verse number 11. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. There are diversities or differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the benefit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen. These verses apply not to an individual, but Paul was telling the whole body of Christ to covet or desire these gifts. As the whole body covets or desires them, the Spirit will divide to every man individually as he wills, as the Spirit wills. Amen. Now, not every person or man is going to have all these gifts, because we see in verses 8 through 11, it speaks saying, for to one is given the word of knowledge. Let me repeat that. Not every man is going to have all these gifts, because as we seen in verses 8 through 11, it speaks saying, for to one is given the word of knowledge. It didn't say it was given all to him, but to one the various gifts were given. Amen. Now, some even have taken these verses out of context and have thought the Bible was telling, and some was thought the Bible was telling the individual to desire all these gifts. I have even met people, just casually speaking them about the word, that have told me that they have all the gifts and they can use them when they want. Well, Paul was telling the church, the body of Christ, a group to desire them. In doing so, the Spirit will distribute to every man individually as the Holy Spirit wills, not as I will, not as you will, not as any other man will, but as the Spirit will. So anyone claiming they possess the gifts is deceiving themselves, or they are just lying because they don't have it. Amen. And these gifts are only distributed as the Spirit wills. Now, Corinth, at the time of Paul, was the most important city in Greece. It was a bustling center of worldwide commerce, but it had vulgar culture and idolatrous religions. But Paul, with all the challenges he was facing, still established a church there. His first letter to the Corinthians reveals the problems, the pressure, and struggles of a church called out of a pagan society. Now, Paul addressed a variety of problems in the lifestyle of the Corinthians church. There were different factions, there were lawsuits, immorality, questionable practices, abuse of the Lord's Supper, and spiritual gifts. In addition to words of discipline, Paul shares words of counsel in answer to questions raised by the Corinthian believers. If we look at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you led." The people there were previously worshiping idols. And in this idol worship, they were motivated and guided by the wrong spirit. And it says a lot of things that they did was in error. They were motivated by the wrong spirit. They were not listening to the word of God. Amen. Church history tells us that some of them came into the Christian assembly, and when the Spirit of God began to manifest itself, they would say things under the influence of these wrong spirits. Some of them would even stand up during the service when the gifts of inspiration and utterance were in operation, and they would say that Jesus was a curse. Just think about that. If you're in a church service today, the pastor is ministering the word, and someone stands up and start calling Jesus a curse and saying that he is not the Messiah. Wow, wouldn't that be something? Paul said that when the Holy Spirit is in operation, he will, the Holy Spirit, proclaim Jesus as Lord. Amen. Now go with me, please, to verse number 3. And it says, "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." Let me repeat that. Verse number 3, it says, "Therefore, I make known to you." Because God don't want us to be ignorant, so he says, "I'm going to make known to you. I'm going to make known specifically to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." And that accursed means that is a language used to express strong dislike or anger towards someone or something. So the verse says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If it is an gift of utterance or a gift, a vocal gift, a spoken word, a statement, or vocal sound, when the Holy Spirit will only say that Jesus is Lord." Amen. Then the Holy Spirit will only say that Jesus is Lord. "Or if it's any of the other gifts, they will always uplift the lordship of Jesus and not the lordship of man or idol." Amen. "They will not attract attention to man, but to rather to Jesus." I remember we were in our service several years ago when we lived in Los Angeles, and the pastor was this was when Jim Jones, I guess some of you guys can remember Jim Jones, the false prophet that took all those people over in Guyana and killed them. They drank that poison. Before all they knew who he really was, he was very popular, and he was, his message was going throughout the Christian community. So our pastor went down, he said, because he wanted to know if something was going on about Jesus, he wanted to be involved. So he said he went down, and the auditorium was packed, and people were praising and worshiping and singing and just having a good time. And as he settled in to prepare for the service, this lady in the front row was standing up and said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." And pastor said there was a man sitting on the stage with his legs crossed, and he had these dark glasses on. And he stood up and he hollered and pointed at that lady and said, "I have none of that here. We will not use that name." And the pastor ears clicked up, his antennas was raised up, and he said, wait a minute, we can't use the name of Jesus here. I'm out of here. I'll see you later. And he left the auditorium, and the rest is history. That man was a false prophet. He convinced all those people, children, young and old, to go down there in South America, and they end up committing suicide. Horrible scene. A strange spirit. So you better be careful who you're listening to. Verse number 3, it says, therefore I make known to you that no one, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus a curse. No one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse. You can be certain that if one is exercising one of the vocal gifts and call Jesus a curse or speaks against him in any way or manner, that is not the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen. Let me repeat. That is not the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen. You can be sure that if anyone is exercising one of the vocal gifts and calls Jesus accursed or speak against him in any way or manner, that is not, again, the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen. Paul tells us that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. What Paul is saying is that if a man is speaking by the right spirit, and that spirit is only the spirit of the Holy Spirit, he will say that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Because people lack understanding, many people try to operate a gift without the Spirit. You can't do that. Perhaps the gift has been manifested in their life on occasion, and they think they have it always, and they can operate in it at will. Not the case. However, when they try to operate in that gift, they invariably get into trouble, and they are opening themselves wide open for satanic deception. That's what happened to Eve. She opened up herself for that satanic deception, and she was deceived by Satan. Adam ate, and the rest is history. Amen. When we get away from the word, Satan will certainly accommodate us. Paul goes on to say in verse number 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Lord. Now, the word diversity simply means different. So there are difference of gifts, but the same Lord. Paul was saying there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. Verse number 5, it says this, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse number 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Hallelujah. Verse number 7, it says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Let me repeat that because that's very important. I want to make sure that people don't think they have all the gifts. It said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is the profit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is for the profit of the whole body of Christ. Amen. So the manifestation of these gifts are for the profit of all, not an individual. And these gifts are given only as the Spirit wills. Repeat that. And these gifts are given only as the Spirit wills. You can't all of a sudden say abracadabra and pull out your hat and think you're going to, the gifts are going to be operation in your life. That's not going to happen. It is only as the Spirit wills. Paul continues in verse number 8. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse number 9. To another, by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. Paul continues by listing the 9 manifestations of these gifts. Now, there are 3 categories of these gifts. And the easiest way to describe these 9 gifts is that there are 3 that say something, 3 that do something, and there are 3 that reveal something. Let me repeat that. There are 3 that say something, 3 that do something, and there are 3 that reveal something. Amen? That's the easiest way to distinguish the 3 different categories of these particular gifts. Well, I am just about out of time for this particular teaching today, but please join us next week when we continue our teaching. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we simply walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.